One of the things I love about being the pastor of Peace Church is that I get to pastor people that I want to be like when I grow up. I'm not saying that to be funny or to get on anyone's good side. It doesn't matter what your age is. What I see, what I aspire to, is also something I see in those who are younger than I. Please indulge me in a moment of self-reflection. What I'm talking about is the work of the Spirit of God in you. I've seen it again and again. When you have the benefit of being a pastor in the same place for a long time, and Peace Church, we are coming up on our 20th anniversary this May. Praise God. But sometimes you get a front row seat to what God is doing in hearts and lives, and that is something to behold. His work is marked with love and light and unselfishness. It shines in a certain way, and you can see it, and you can't help be drawn to it like a moth to a flame, but in the best of all possible ways. That flame builds you up, if you will. It warms you with the light he shines. I first saw it when I was a kid in the first church my family attended, Emmanuel Faith Community Church in Escondido, California. Certain Sunday school teachers, like Mrs. Bentley, who gave me this New Testament when I was in first grade, and she signed it, "May our Lord always bless you and guide, always richly bless you and guide you always." Then there was old Mr. Gish, who had to be in his 90s, but he sat in front of us in the church, and we usually went into the annex because my mother was often late. Go ahead, say it. I'm my mother's son. But he took an interest in me and my brothers. Or there was this lady, and I never knew her name, but her face shined when she sang in the choir, and it was a large church and a large choir, but she stood out. I can still see her face to this day, and it was back in the 60s, and she kind of had this bouffant thing going on, but I can still see her face, because what shined on her face was the love of God, and it was evident even as a child. And then when I was about 11, we moved to this smaller church out in the middle of the desert, and there were people like Bob and Selma. Every church should have its Bobs, right? I mean, Bob and Selma Offie, whom I'm still in touch with today, my Sunday school teachers in high school, and there was Floyd King and his wife Billy. Now, he was a pastor who came out of retirement, and I used to mock him because every other word that he said was ah, and it was kind of this nasal ah, and so my brothers and I nicknamed him the Wizard of Oz. But man, in God's sense of humor, one day, I'm about 13, and he and his wife look at me, and they said, "You know, we could be wrong, but we think that you're going to be a pastor when you grow up." I'll tell you. I ran from that thought for 7 years, and look where it got me. And the point, and thank you for putting up with this reflection for a moment, is that each of us, if we do what just what God is calling us to do in the smallest way, each of us can make an incalculable difference in someone else's life. And that brings us to our scripture today, Acts chapter 20, verses 21 through 24. This is out of our daily readings in the New Testament. If you're not familiar with that, we're using the 5-5-5 reading plan. It's a way that we're staying together as a congregation in the Word of God through the New Testament this year. Again, Acts chapter 20, verses 21 through 24. Paul is speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus about the work he has done there and about God's purpose for his life in the days to come. So take a moment, Acts 20, verses 21 through 24. Please follow along in your Bibles. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, before we go further with this passage, there's one thing that we need to get out of the way. If you've been reading along in Acts to this point, you'll notice that Paul was warned again and again not to go to Jerusalem. And he went anyhow. It was prophesied by Agabus in Caesarea that he would suffer if he went. Luke and many others pleaded with him. The elders in the church at Ephesus wept over him, asking him not to go, and it still didn't stop him. Acts 21:4, note this, says the disciples entire, quote, through the Spirit urged Paul not to go. So why did he? The short answer is he believed that's what God was calling him to do. Those who urged him not to go rightly understood that the Spirit was saying he would suffer if he went. But, Paul was getting the same thing. Paul already knew that. But sometimes God calls us to do the hard thing, even if it does mean suffering. In verse 22, Paul even said he was compelled. The word in the original language means bound, held with chains. He had to go. So sometimes God calls us to do things that aren't easy, but God has a way of working in us. And as you look at this passage we're reading today, making those things so worthwhile that nothing's going to stop us, and we want to be about them. And that brings me back to this question. What do you want to be when you grow up? I ask it not as someone who's arrived. I ask it recognizing that God's Spirit and God's grace are always at work in us. We're always growing. He's always showing us ways that we can walk more closely with Him, things that we can do to love Him and serve Him. You know, love not just with words, but in action. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote. So what is it for you? What is it that you want to be when you grow up? I'd like to zero in on one verse that really challenges us out of our text this morning, verse 24. Paul writes, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So there it is. It's all in perspective. Others see through the Spirit rightly. If he goes, it's going to be tough. Paul sees that too. But compelled by the Spirit, he goes. You know, these words we just read, my life is worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race. Those are easy enough to say at church on Sunday morning, perhaps. But Paul isn't just saying this because it sounds good. His life would prove it. Going to Jerusalem was the beginning of the end for him. He would be falsely accused, imprisoned, eventually put to death by neurotic Nero. But just one thing mattered to Paul more than anything else. Sharing the good news of Jesus, doing and being what he was called to be. So let's go back to that question again. How about it? What do you want to be? When people ask that question, of course, what they really mean is, what do you want to do? What, as you are growing in Christ, is he putting on your heart to do? To share his love with others. There's always something. There's always something if we're looking, if we're listening. Remember, it doesn't have to be something grandiose. God delights in the smallest obedience and uses it in powerful ways. As a matter of fact, I believe that when we get to heaven, the most faithful preachers, the ones who have the highest honor, whatever they may be, will be the ones we've never heard of. Because they are simply doing what God has called them to be and do in obscurity. God's Spirit is moving in this way in his people. Again, he delights in it. God's Spirit moved Bob and Pam to put together some Valentine gift bags, which we gave to the kids of the church. It's a little thing, but it makes a difference. He moved Jim and Jill to meet the needs of a food bank and Mary Lou to help with a reading ministry to those in prison. He moved Lynn to complete our annual report to the presbytery. And that's in keeping with her gifts. She can do that kind of stuff. But it's a labor of love. And Ron Horgan, our executive, our presbytery exec, wrote back, God is up to something in many churches, and I have no doubt, given the prayer undergirding of your church, you're in for a great time. In the midst of pandemics and the like, the church has always done some of its finest work. This could truly be our finest hour. And I love that. I love that because we shouldn't be waiting for some time for the pandemic to be over when we can get on with our plans. Because the time that we live in now, the fields are white unto harvest. We live in a time where depression and suicide and addiction and divorce rates have rapidly increased. All around us are people who are hurting, who need the healing touch of Jesus that is about so much more than physical health. And if you know him, if you love him, he will lead you in this and give you joy through his Spirit. So how about it? Where has his Spirit been prompting you? We have needs among us. We always do. And often it's something that we've never thought of, and then someone brings it up, and there it is. We certainly have needs with our children. It could be anything. God often moves among the gifts he's given us. Whatever it is, we want to encourage you in this, in sharing Jesus with others in the smallest, simplest ways. That's one reason I just mentioned this prayer hanger at the beginning of our service, because people are open to prayer. Just think of the satisfaction it would give you to see his love and his light shining through someone's eyes because he used you to reach them. It was said about Jesus in Mark 7:37, he has done everything well. He has done everything well. And if you and I follow him in whatever he leads us to do, again, no matter how small. I mean, think about the way God works in the New Testament with things like that. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, this baby born in an obscure manger is the hope of the world. You know, so often when God wants to use you, he hides you. But if you and I follow him, just doing what he wants us to do, then we will do well. Think of Paul's words. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. He will give each of us who love him specific things to do, ways that will show his love through us. It may just take a day. It may just take a moment. It may be easy. It may be difficult. It will always be worth it. And in the end, you will be blessed, just as others will be. Remember, all of the parables that Jesus told about service, the story of the master and the servants in Luke 17, the parable of the wedding banquet, the parable of the wise and foolish servants in Luke 12, the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Think about it. His intent is that we are to serve him and his kingdom and to bear fruit for him. So what are you doing? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. I mean, if we are to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, is it because, oh, I just lived my own life and Jesus made me feel good? Or is it because the attitude of my heart over time as I grew up in him became, yes, Lord. Today, it's not my schedule, it's your schedule. It's not easy, is it? But yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? Help me to hear you. Taking that quiet moment in the morning to be silent, to be still before him. To get our orders, if you will, from him. Yes, that's one way to put it. But to just be with him. To be lifted by his love. Helped through his spirit. You know, if you were to ask Paul, after all of this was said and done, after all he went through in Jerusalem and then in Rome, if you were to ask him, was it worth it? What would he say? Ah, he answered that question. He answered that question in the last chapter of his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. I've fought the good fight. Last chapter is last letter. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul would write just 14 verses from him after that. That's what we have. And then he would exit history's stage. But what a performance. What a race. What a finish. Think of how far he came. We saw it in Acts. From holding the coats of Stephen's executioners, dying for the same faith himself. Oh, the work a spirit can do in a heart and life, even our own. You and I might look at his life and say, oh, I could never be Paul. But the beautiful truth is, you're not called to be. You just need to be the person God made you to be with your unique skill set, your unique gifts and talents, your unique desires and abilities. Just follow him and do what he gives you to do. And oh, he promises you will be rewarded. You will be blessed. But oh, it's not about us ultimately, is it? It's about him. It's about others. And the true value of our lives becomes apparent as we give ourselves to him in this. Remember that the plans he has for you and me are eternal, and we have barely scratched the surface. But through him, you can do it. What is it that he has in store for you, child of God? What will you do? Where will you go? None of us know how much time we have left. You know, this very morning I found out that the girl next door, the girl that I grew up next to, went to be with the Lord. My age, you're older. In the time you and I have, what will you accomplish? Through him. Where will you get to see his spirit shine? In your heart? In the heart of another? Maybe because of the smallest thing you did, because he inspired it in you. Where will it be? There's only one way to find out, isn't there? Your unique gifts and skills and insights and experiences. Oh, placed before him in love. Here they are. Here I am. Lord, I love you. What are the things he has waiting for you? Oh. Wouldn't it be good to see it? May we pray. Thank you, Lord, for these words of Paul. He talks about running the race, and then he says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race. And you carried him all the way. And Lord, we want to be yours in this and the time that we have. And we are so mindful of our shortcomings, of our sinfulness. But our eyes would not be on ourselves. Our eyes would be on you. And Lord, if even in the smallest, humblest way we can serve, oh, show us. Help that to be our hearts. Draw us out of ourselves and into your light and into your love to truly bless others through you. Thank you, Father, for the inspiration of your truth through your word. Thank you for the moving of your spirit We look forward to you, our beautiful Savior. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together in singing All I Have is Christ. Thank you, Paige. Thank you.